Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment, Serial Data, and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have a great show for you today. I'm going to cover some hot topics that have happened in the last couple days, and then have a super juicy interview with another crazy, true life, Dirty John type story. But first, let me get into the latest. So Tristan Thompson, baby daddy to Chloe's True, has now announced he is in fact the father of three. He admitted that, yes, the paternity test came back as his child of this little boy that this girl was claiming was his child. And as you know, he went on the offensive in her paternity lawsuit saying it couldn't be his child and I'm not going to pay child support. And she revealed these text messages and he went after her for that. And anyway, she has given birth to a healthy baby. She's a personal trainer. There's some photos of her. She's quite attractive. She claimed they had a consensual relationship. She claimed that he said he and Chloe were not together. She gave birth to this son, and she just wants him to be part of the life and also get child support. So he wrote a long Instagram story, 2 pages worth, that looks like movie credits, saying, I am the father's child. I will take responsibility. Apologizing to Chloe, saying she's a wonderful person. She doesn't deserve this. He has the utmost respect for her. I love that when people say that. And it's like, well, you didn't when you were having sex with this girl on your birthday when she was posting what a great partner and fabulous husband, not husband, but fabulous partner and person in her life that you are. You guys were clearly together on your birthday when this is the night you probably impregnated this girl. So happy birthday, Tristan. He went to True's dance recital a couple hours before this post, brought her a bunch of roses. And, you know, we all feel for Chloe. However, people are reminding us that there is still a tweet out there on Chloe's feed from 2019 where she strongly goes after Jordan Woods. As you remember, Jordan Woods was not only the best friend to Kylie, but almost like a family friend. She was involved in their businesses. She was involved in Kylie's short-lived reality show. She lived with Kylie. They'd been best friends since they were 11. And there was a witness indiscretion between she and Tristan. She went on the Red Table Talk. She said it was just a kiss. And the friendship ended. Kylie's moved on. She's moved on. And anyway, people are saying justice for Jordan Woods. You know, and also Jordan was the name of the woman he was with, apparently, supposedly, when he and Chloe started to date. And that Jordan is the mother of his first son. So we all feel badly for Chloe, including Lamar, her ex-husband, who reached out or made a comment under a Facebook post saying, like, I love Chloe. You know, she doesn't deserve this. I don't know if you say love it, but like, she doesn't deserve this. And you know, I'd love to talk as friends. Now, I think I shared with you guys, I was at some Airbnb or something, and Lamar's book was there, and I read it, and he was not great about it. He was pretty unappreciative of the family that nursed him back to life when he was found unresponsive at a whorehouse, is what they'd call it, or a whatever you call it, a chicken ranch out in Vegas and out on drugs after he cheated on her numerous times. The whole book talks about how much he cheated on her, what is her. But when she was taking care of me, he's even like kind of talks about how his family didn't really like that she was, you know, there and controlling. I don't know. Let's just hope she doesn't get back together with Lamar. Anyway, it's sad. In the meantime, her sister Kim took off on a plane with Pete Davidson to go to the Bahamas. I don't know when SNL comes back, but I guess he has another week off. And apparently, according to Page Six, she stopped following Miley Cyrus. which they used to follow each other, after Miley and Pete did their New Year's Eve show, which I watched a little of it. You know, it was fun and entertaining. I mean, she's a great performer. She lost her top halfway through, came back with a big blazer. A lot of people were talking about Andy Cohen's performance on CNN. He was drinking two different kinds of crazy alcohol, and he blasted the mayor of New York, which a lot of people agreed with and really liked what he had to say. And then he also made fun of Ryan Seacrest and the losers that were watching the Ryan Seacrest countdown across the way in Times Square. He since apologized for that. I thought that might be a little awkward since he's very good friends with Kelly Ripa. And of course, Ryan is her co-host. And also, he wanted that job. In my understanding, he wanted the job of co-host. So was that a little like, you know, the truth comes out with the liquor? Then there were stories that he won't be asked back to CNN. And then CNN said, no, that's not true. We're excited to have him back. Absolutely, CNN should have him back. I mean, this will get people to maybe even want to watch more next year. And he also said people want him to run for mayor. So there you go. I don't know if it's true that, you know, Kim stopped following Miley or if she did it. I think she did it intentionally. I think she knows when. And I think if you – can you still mute someone and you wouldn't find out? Like, why would you stop following them unless you want your fans to know that you stopped following them to add to the drama of this juice? Now, I think, like, yeah, I think most people would think Miley and Pete Davidson would make a more appropriate couple age-wise, look-wise, tattoo-wise, everything. They just seem to fit better than mother of four Kim Kardashian with 28-year-old Pete Davidson. But who cares? I told you, I think that Khloe needs to date Miley's brother, Trey Cyrus. He's tattooed, he's pretty cute, and he's got some stuff going on for himself. And then she would have a tattooed white version to fit in with the others. And then that would just repair the Miley situation. But maybe she doesn't want Miley like around if she feels that she's a threat to Pete. For who knows how long this will last. It's fun to watch. Meanwhile, Kanye went on a date with this girl named Julia Fox. She's like a model or something. And they went out and spent New Year's Eve in Miami and then had like another dinner. And of course, he bought the house across the street. But like I said, even though it's across the street, it's not like literally like you could look through your window into her window. I mean, these are big, huge properties on a couple acres and, you know, with walls built up and private security. And he bought like a teardown. So that's going to take years to build. And if he was any way particular the way they built that house, he's like, they put in the marble floors, then he'd be like, I don't like this marble floor, and it takes forever, which is probably one of the reasons she divorced him. I mean, how annoying was that? Okay, what else is going on here? Oh, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I mentioned this before. Now, OK is talking about it. As you know, Kathy Hilton is back filming the show. So many rumors of whether she wasn't filming because she was doing Paris's show, whether it was she was holding out for more money. Technically, she's still a friend as of now, but they can always change that at the last minute and have throw her diamond in front of a green screen. But the rumor that OK magazine is reporting is that she's making more than Kyle, who's been a loyal employee for 10 years, and Kyle's annoyed. Well, who knows if Kyle's really annoyed or not? Kyle has done, I think, one of the best of someone who's gone on these shows. Her marriage's still intact. The husband's business is amazing. Her daughters are gorgeous and do real estate well. I mean, really, out of everybody, I think she's come off great. And she's had her ups and downs with her sisters, but she's good with her sister now. So, but yeah, I would think I might be a little annoyed. But I also think someone could just create the story just the way I did. Just like, I wonder, but you know, these things, like I said, it's not like you're working in a factory. If they have to pay someone more because they demand it and because they believe they're worth it, that's showbiz. You know, that's the way it works. The girl that was selling the farts that was formerly on 90 Day Fiancé, a very pretty girl. She was a YouTuber. She was the first bisexual 90 Day Fiancé. So she was meeting a girl in Australia who was also a YouTuber. And they had a very fake bisexual lesbian relationship, in my opinion. I think they were both just trying to, you know, get fame. Well, she realized that she could fart and bottle them up and sell them on OnlyFans. And she was making some ridiculous amount, like $100,000 a month or something, doing this. Well, if you watched her on 90 Day Fiancé, she did have some complicated health issues. She had to take a lot of medicine and she was worried about flying over to Australia. Well, I guess she was farting so many times. The report was that she was farting like 97 times in 2 days to produce these farts. And I would have liked to seen like the process of farting in the jar, like the masonry jar, what size jar you use, how you package it up. Do you do like a personalized note? Who goes to the UPS store? Do you have stamps? .com at your house? Like, how do you save the shipping? Is it overnight shipping? Does it lose something in a few days? Could it last till you open it? Like, anyway, unfortunately, she ended up in the hospital and she had some type of heart issue or something happened where now she does not know that she can eat these kind of foods and produce this kind of farting for her business anymore. So pray for her. And, then I was watching – oh, then this was also a great – well, it was a good story because the baby was saved. But you know how my fantasy is to find a baby and then take it home and raise it. It's been my fantasy for a long time. And this happened in somewhere in Alaska. Very sad. This baby was premature and it came with a note. I'll tell you right now, the baby's doing fine. It was in great health. I don't know if the baby's been adopted out, but there was a baby found. A woman found the baby near some mailboxes in a box in Alaska. So I'm assuming it was very, very cold. Thank God the baby was found okay, with a note saying, written in first person from the baby saying like, my mom can't take care of me. Neither can my grandparents. I'm premature. I was born after this many weeks, you know, please help me. And, so hopefully, you know, this baby finds a wonderful home and the mother is taken care of and not prosecuted in any way, because, you know, she did not drop the baby off at a fire department or police department or hospital, all these other places you can do as a safe haven, but at least the baby was found. So thank God for the citizen who found it. Everyone sent it to me being like, don't be jealous. And, you know, I'm still, I still kind of have that hero fantasy, but, so I had to share that with you guys. And then I watched Vanderpump Rules, and I've talked about the two kind of gems that are taking over the world, and they are Morganite, and I forgot how to say the other one. I know it's not Monistat 7, but it's something else, but let's just go with Morganite, because Morganite was the stone that Brock, who's Sheena's fiance, was buying for her, and he got a big pink Morganite diamond that was like 12 carats, and the jeweler on the Vanderpump Rules show said it was $25,000. And there's a lot of people talking, looking up Morganite pink diamonds, and I found one that was 9.5 carats that was pink with real diamonds around it, and that went for $3,300. I'm not saying her ring, that she wasn't charged $25,000, Sheena. I just think maybe the jeweler, I don't know, took her for something, or I don't really know. But a lot of talk about this jewel. I love that people are getting different diamonds, different kinds of colored diamonds, not diamonds at all, different kinds of engagement rings, you know, getting away from that always classic diamond thing. And if you want a big ring and you want it to be colorful, you don't have to spend $100,000, you know, but I'm just kind of curious about this whole thing. So that was a big controversy on the show last night on Vanderpump. And so I just want to talk to you guys about if anyone got – I kind of want one now. I was looking at it. I'm like, this is a really pretty ring. I might want to look into it just for fun. I'm not going to replace my little 1-carat classic that I got that everybody got back in my day. But maybe add to it. Who knows? Speaking of diamonds and engagement rings, now here is a story of a woman that was really duped by her fiance, and it's very juicy. So here we go. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have a juicy scooper with a juicy, juicy dating story. We got another Dirty John situation on our hands, and I'm here with Bridget Anderson, who wrote to me. We talked a little bit on the phone, and then I'm like, save it for the show, because this is such a juicy, crazy story. So first, let's begin. Tell me a little bit about
you know, how you met this man, your dating history, where you were in your life, and all of that.
Yeah. So I had been divorced, I would say about 2 years, and I dated, and it was kind of hit or miss, but I was also dealing with, you know, four young kids. So dating wasn't necessarily a priority. But kind of here, there, Bumble, Match, not Tinder, because at that time, Tinder was still like just a hookup site. And so I actually met Matthew Person, that's his name, or Matt, on Match.com. And at the time, he lived in the Illinois or Chicago area. And we chatted for a few days because he was out of town. But like,
no, wait, let me just ask a couple questions. Yeah. So what year is this?
This was 2017. Yes,
it was. And how old were you at the time?
So I was 41. Yes.
And four little kids. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. And then and you're a professional.
Yes.
And you're a teacher. And so when you matched up with him on, you said Bumble, was it?
Match.com.
On Match.com. How far, you said he's in Chicago. So like, how far were you from his location when you started talking?
Only about 15 minutes, really.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it was kind of fishy from the beginning because he lived here in the Chicagoland area, but his kids were still in South Carolina. But his statement to me was, you know, and at first I was like, who would leave their children, right? What kind of person would do that? And then he's like, no, my company pays for me to fly back there 2 or 3 times a month so I can see them. And this way I can provide for them, which was all, you know, a bunch of, am I allowed to curse?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All a bunch of bullshit. So he actually has not seen his children in 6 years. So 2017, we went on our first date. By like 3 months later, we were practically living together. It's like spending every night together.
Wait, I just want to hear about a little bit about the courtship of how this works. So you match up and like right from the start, what, you know, he presents himself as a divorced dad, a devoted divorced dad, someone that has a professional career in which a company provides travel and everything for him. But like, what, like kind of also hooked you into first meeting him, and tell me about like the first couple dates and all of that, the courting of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was very attractive. And like a kind of a bigger guy, like, you know, just like a man's man kind of thing. And so from a physical standpoint, that was like, but you know, he was very open, or so I thought, about like his divorce, and supposedly his wife married his best friend and they get along and all this. So I was kind of like, oh, like finally a guy that gets along with his ex-wife. Cause I dated some guys that would just, all they would do on a date is just bitch about their ex. I'm like, okay, no. So our first date, we went out for sushi, and then like at the end of the date, like, we had a great date. He wouldn't even kiss me. He's like, no, you're too special for that. Like, yeah. And so things went very quickly. I think again, like within like 2 weeks, which I had never done, he had met my kids, and I had never ever done. Yeah. And it just like, and it was kind of like, he was giving me this like kind of almost like he's going to swoop in and save me. Not that I needed to be saved. Like I was, you know, financially secure. I owned my own house, all that bullshit. But I think from like a standpoint of like, I don't have any, like, I don't have backup. It's just me. Kind of thing.
So like, tell me some of the things. Is it like he's fixing stuff around the house? He's offering to get you stuff. Like, what is the things that was part of like the love bombing that really sucked you in into thinking like, finally somebody gets me and this is the perfect person?
Yeah. Like tons of the flowers. For instance, like, I think it was 2 weeks after we first started dating, I was going to Louisville to do a full Ironman. And I had a leased car. He's like, hey, take my Range Rover, like, you know, take my car, you can put the miles on that. And then when I got to the hotel in Louisville, like the day before the race or whatever, there was like a huge basket of like stuff, like a gift basket he had someone at the hotel put together, like all kind of related to the race. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, like he let me have his car and he's thinking ahead and he's so romantic and all this stuff. And he'd even called the hotel to pay for my stay there, like things like that. Like he was swooping in to like, you know, just show like, hey, you know, this is, you know, going to be as good as it gets kind of thing. So just got love it. Bombing, like within 2 weeks, maybe three, we had said, I love you. And I just, and he was so helpful, like around the house, like he would just fix stuff. And every morning I'd wake up and I'd have a Starbucks like on my nightstand. He would get up.
Oh my God. That is just like in the movie Dirty John, except it was the smoothies.
Shit, I forgot about that. Yes. Now that I think about it, I'm like, but it was like, no one had ever done that for me. Like my ex-husband wasn't thoughtful. And so all of a sudden I'm like, I had the opposite of what I had had, which I thought was like a dream come true kind of thing. So like it moved very fast again with the kids and all this, and I love yous and, you know, spending all the time taking trips together, like him and him paying for everything. And even though I could financially, like, he's like, no, 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 babe, I got this. It's like that whole like savior thing. Yeah, just like spending money, just like give me a Louis Vuitton bag, like all this stuff. And, but then, so I was like, this is it, you know, and he used this term, and I might've seen it in my interview, the other, like, he would say, you're my last first kiss, which meant like, I'm like, oh, I'm finally done with this bullshit of dating. I don't have to be out there anymore. And so that was like, definitely just kind of pulled me in thinking like, wow, this is going to be amazing. This is it. And, yeah, so it was just like, it was such a relief, and he was good with my kids. You know, and, but then things like about 4 or 5 months in, like he would go visit his daughters. And then I would say like, hey, send me a picture with you and Emily Grace. And, and he would like, oh, my camera's not working or they have the flu. So I had to stay home, and it never just added up. And then all of a sudden it was like these emergency out of town, like work trips or flights canceled. And I'm just kind of like, and anytime.
Now, how many months are we in now of
about
the relationship?
Four.
Okay.
About 4 months.
So the first couple months are everything. Now, a couple months later, now you said you're my first last kiss. Is he talking marriage at this point?
Yes. He was even saying like, we should have a baby together. You know, he's like, I think you're a wonderful mother and I would love to have that experience with you. Let me reverse my vasectomy for you, like all this stuff. And I'm like, it seemed like a dream come true, but then the cracks started to come through.
But were you trying to get pregnant at that point? Cause you were 41, so you still could get pregnant, but were you like, yeah, we better just get on it and get that vasectomy reversal. Let me have my last baby.
Yeah, because I thought, wow, I'd love to have a baby with somebody that I'm completely and totally in love with, and this will be amazing, and so on and so forth. Yeah, so we were actively trying, but unbeknownst to me at the time, he did not have the vasectomy reversed, and he was letting me spend like $40 on like either pregnancy tests or ovulation kits, knowing damn well there was no chance I was going to get pregnant. Yeah.
That is just a level of deception or cruelty I don't think I've really heard yet. And so bizarre, like when we talked on the phone a little bit, and I didn't get your whole story and we're going to continue, but I thought that was so interesting in these cases that they must get off on seeing the person, the victim really be so hopeful and excited about this thing that has no chance of ever, ever happening, whether it's marriage or having a child, like presenting this dream and seeing the person buy into it is the sickest part of this whole thing.
Right. Like knowing every single month, like that was not going to happen. He's like, well, and he'd be like, well, maybe you're just too old or there's something like wrong with you. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with me. I've had 4 healthy kids, like shit like that. I mean, it was just the gaslighting was beyond. And I just didn't see it at the time because they're so good at kind of alienating you, just like on Dirty John, alienating you from your friends and your family. Like if I had a friend that would say like, I'm just not sure about him, Bridget, something seems off. Like he would say, it's you and me against the world, babe. Don't listen to her. You don't need her kind of thing. So it was like just completely alienating them. And my family didn't like him, but like, I just had those rose colored glasses on and I was full steam ahead.
So you're now like 4 months in, you're still trying to get pregnant. You're kind of not hanging out with your friends because you know they don't approve. How do your kids feel about him? Do they still like him?
They did. Yes. They, cause he was actually really good. I mean, he's a despicable, disgusting, sick human being, but he was actually really good with my kids. That was kind of the one thing that, maybe kind of kept those glasses on a little bit more, that my kids had a father figure, like, cause he was really manly and he would fix stuff and he would teach my oldest, like, how to throw a baseball. And like, I had not had that previously. So I was like, wow, this is amazing. So, I mean, it was full, like I said, full steam ahead. Like he was like, we were in Vegas for a trip and he's like, let's just get married now. And I was like, I don't think so. Like my mother will kill me. Like my,
that's Dirty John as well. Remember he married her in Vegas.
It's crazy. Like, I mean, it's almost like they have a playbook that each of these guys goes by, because like, I was talking to one of my students at school. His mom works for Homeland Security, and her new division is doing just this. It's looking into women that fall prey to these kind of men. It's more common than you actually think. Again, like I felt so ridiculous after all of it was disclosed, but now there's like seven of us that kind of are there for each other to support each other.
Wait, let's get to some of the cracks and continue with the story. So you're in Vegas, but you don't get married there. Continue. Now, like, tell me some other stuff that started to happen.
Like we came, so it was Christmas Eve and it was my first Christmas without my kids, which you can imagine was just so hard. And, he was supposed to fly in. I was supposed to spend the night with his family, in Downers Grove, which is a suburb of Illinois, and have a great like Christmas Eve and then spend Christmas Day together with my kids when they came back from their dad's. And like his flight kept getting canceled. I'm like, well, what flight are you on? And he's like, I don't have to tell you anything. Da, 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 da. Like the total, like flipping it around. I'm like, well, I don't see any flights canceled out of Atlanta. And he's like, well, maybe you're not looking at the right website. Da, 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 da. Like all this stuff. And then when I'm like, I don't think you're on a flight. I don't know where you are, but like, this is really shitty. Like, I'm here on Christmas Eve without my kids for the first time since I got divorced. And like, you're lying to me. And then he's like, you know what? And then he just went dark. And then like 4 hours later, he's like, I'm home. He's like, but I don't want to see you tonight. He's like, I don't appreciate being questioned. Merry Christmas.
That was now it. That is gaslighting 101.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden he's made you feel terrible. And it's your fault in how you behaved that you know that you are not seeing each other tonight.
Right. It's my fault that I spent mm-hmm. Christmas Eve by myself. Like literally just cried myself to sleep that night. It was just like the saddest, like, you know, single mom, my kids aren't here. But it was hard for me because I didn't have all my family goes to Florida for Christmas. And we were leaving the next day, but still, I was still like alone as a person can get. And then thinking like this person's like, oh, is this it? Are we over? Like, and he just went dark for like a day. And then all of a sudden he's like, he just stops by the house. And because we were supposed to go to Florida together. And he's like, are we still going? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, like what's going on? And he's like, well, let's make this work. You just have to trust me and all of this stuff. And so we went to Florida and met up with my family, went to like the Outback Bowl, because apparently he went to South Carolina, which he lied about. He never did. He never graduated. He lied about Heather, everything. Like that documentary we were discussing. He lied about where he went to school. He lied about his wife marrying his best friend. He lied about seeing his kids. He lied about being scouted for the Olympic shot put team. I mean, just keeps going. Like I know
it's always so crazy when with pathological liars, when they just do lies that had no point to the story. There was no reason you wouldn't like him any more, any less if he was right up to be a shot putter or not.
Oh yeah. And like him and Darius Rucker were like best friends because Darius Rucker lives in Charleston. He's like, yeah, our kids play together. Like, you know, wagon wheel, like he and I used to belt it out in the backyard. I'm like, and then later I found out, I'm like, you're so full of shit. He hated you. Like, what do you think I'm going to sleep with you because you know, Darius Rucker, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, ridiculous. So then
how's Christmas in Florida? Is it good?
It's not good. Okay. Like I had a friend down there with me. And she was like, I don't trust him. Like, I think he's, you know, just has ulterior motives. And I was like, go home, leave. And then Matt was there. And then my family, my mom, like strict Catholic, she's like, I don't want him around. You haven't been dating that long. And I pretty much said to my family, screw you guys. We're just going to go get a hotel room. And so we did in Clearwater Beach and just spent the next 4 days together. And like, didn't see my family for the rest of the trip. And again, it was that, oh, me against you and me against the world, babe. You know, we got this, that kind of bullshit.
Now, is he still paying for everything? Like the Clearwater weekend, who's paying for that?
He's still paying for it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But then like, when I went to his company Christmas party and I was like, oh, like they love him. This is great. And, but like, I remember being at the party and they're like, oh, is this one you brought to the business dinner a couple weeks ago? And I kind of went and he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, Diane, right? And I'm like, who's Diane? And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a drunk. Like, but all, you know, looking back, you're like, oh, like he would sign into Hulu and it would see his name and then this Diane person. And I'm like, who's Diane? He's like, oh, we used to date, but we don't. She just uses my Hulu. And it was just all like, so at this time, concurrently, while we're dating, he is dating a woman in, also in the Chicago area. And then he has a girlfriend in Florida.
But he really does have a real job.
Yes, yes, yes. Because okay. I saw his offices. I went to the Christmas party. So I was like, okay, like, you know, he really travels for work a lot and so on and so forth. So it kind of gave me a little bit of reassurance. But then during this time, he's talking about building our dream house. And like, you know, I'll build it because he's in construction, like, you know, all this shit, like I'll even put up the down payment, so on and so forth. Like we'll buy a fixer upper. You'll sell your house. We'll build our dream house. So I'm like, okay. So then I put my house on the market, which was paid for. My kids were all, you know, raised there up until this point. And I go to buy another house, like a fixer upper, great land, ship box to the house. But I met with an architect. It was all these things were going. So I went to the closing of not my house, but the new one. And he calls me and he's like, I can't go. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, my niece is in the hospital. And I was like, okay, but like, really, you can't go? And I'm like, just FYI, my lawyer says that the wire transfer still hasn't come through for the down payment. And he's like, well, let me call my bank guy. So that shit box had me go to a closing by myself, knowing that money was never coming. And I sat there for 3 hours sweating. And I said, I'm calling him. I'm like, where is the money? Like, you didn't need to do this. I had the money to do it, but you insisted, like that kind of thing, like doing things.
And how much were you waiting on? How much was the down payment for this house?
We were 200,000.
Mm-hmm. So the money never comes. So that day, what happens with the sale of the house? Just done?
Doesn't happen. Done. And the whole time he's like, I'm at the niece with my hospital. She could be dying. How dare you? How dare you, Bridget? All you're worried about is money. I'm like, I'm sitting here with the buyer or with the seller and my lawyer and your lawyer, and I'm sweating bullets because you keep saying, check the wire transfer. And he knew the whole goddamn time that that money was not coming through, and he had me go to the closing. So
you leave after 3 hours. Now, is your house still for sale? Has anyone bought it yet?
It was in, what's that, escrow, where like, yes, it was almost about to close.
So and when you say your house, so you're selling your house and you said it was paid off. So you had no mortgage on your home?
No mortgage, none.
Okay. So how many days are we away from your house closing?
Like 5.
So then what happens?
So then I was like, what am I going to do? Like I'm worried that the seller of the new house is going to sue me. Right. And then I'm also like worried, like we're not going to have a place to live. And so I was like, and then he's like, well, and when I'm questioning, I'm like, where the fuck that? He's like, well, I have the money, but I'm not comfortable using it on the house because I feel like we have some trust issues. And you have to laugh. You just have to laugh. And so I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And so I went to my mom and I said, listen, like my house, my old house is about to sell. But I need like the money to to put down for the new house in the interim, which was like 7 days or something. So I was lucky enough that one, she loaned me the money, and two, that the seller agreed to move forward, even though I had kind of, you know, reneged on the first one. So I buy the new house with the expectation of completely remodeling it, because I had paid $3,000 for architecture plans. And we moved out of that house into the new one, which was tiny, but just for the short term until we could, you know, like get a rental and then start building the house.
But in purchasing this house, is he on title or is it just you?
Just me.
Thank God. Yeah. Okay.
I know. Right. But I find out later, I mean, maybe would have been 6 months later, that the day of the closing, he called my title company and said, there's a change in the bank account that the money needs to be wired to. This is the new bank account number.
So the sale of your home, he called and said, once mm-hmm. it's closed and whatever, five, whatever house, how much your house is worth, hundreds yeah. of, how much was it? Are we talking?
$650.
Mm-hmm. And so they were smart enough to contact you and confirm?
I know nobody ever told me. They're like, well, this needs to come from Bridget.
Okay.
So I didn't know about it. If I had known about that, I would have been like, you're done. But so they're like, well, she can call us and she can get a notary public, or however you say that word. And she has to sign something saying that the account information she has given us has been modified.
But had someone been sweet talked by him or
right.
not good at their job, you could have been out $650,000 your mm-hmm. entire life.
Right, my entire nest egg. And so what I found out talking to previous victims, like, he's got a short game, he's got a long game. His short game is pawning your shit and, like, you know, using your credit card numbers to buy stuff or whatever. But his long game is sell your house, let's build our dream home. He's done this to six women. Five of whom have sold their houses and he's tried to get their money.
Has he gotten any of their money?
No. He's never gotten any of their money, but he has certainly tried.
Okay. So what happened? So now you are able to buy the fixer upper by yourself in your own name. Your mm-hmm. house closes, you get your money. He does not succeed in doing that. You're still a couple.
Yes, we're still a couple.
So then what happens?
This is like March of 2018. So at this point, we've been dating October, November, December, January, February, like maybe 6 months. But I was so angry about some of the things he had done, especially the closing, because that was probably one of the worst afternoons of my life, to be perfectly honest. And so, but we were still like making it work. His travel started to increase. He's like, yeah, I'll work on getting us a rental so we can get started on the demo of our house. Everything was we. And, but then suddenly, like, he was gone for longer periods of time and just goes dark kind of thing. And again, if your gut tells you something, it's probably right. And like, I would ask to see his phone and he's like, if you need that, then we're done because you can't trust me. And then in April of 2018, I get a phone call, and the timing was horrific. I get a phone call. I was walking into court to fight something with my ex-husband about custody. I can't even remember what it was about. And this woman says, it was like from South Carolina area code. And she's like, do you know Matthew Person? And I said, yes, why? And she said, I've been dating him for the last 3 months.
And at this point, how long have you guys been together?
Like five or six.
And what did you say to her?
I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, how did you even get my information? She's like, he left his suitcase here and he used your luggage tag, which has your phone number on it. And yeah. And then he proceeded to backtrack and say, like, she's crazy. It was just one time, blah, 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 blah. And she was a little cuckoo. I mean, you could tell just from my conversations, even though she was telling the truth, she sounded so we were supposed to go to spring break with my kids. And I'm like, I'm not going with you any longer. He's like, take the house. You guys just go, like, you know, you're done with me. Just throw me away like garbage. And I'm like, you've been screwing around with me. Like, and at the time, I didn't even know how many more there were. I just knew of this one woman. And
so that's the one woman. And then, but were, was the Diane name coming into your head too? Were you curious about her?
I was a little curious, but like anytime I asked him, he's like, that's in the past. It's like you and me, you're my true love, blah, blah, blah. Like would feed me just the perfect stuff. And I can't believe I bought it, but I know now it's not, he knew exactly what he was doing. So we go to Florida, like, cause he rented a house, me and the kids. And then he shows up just begging for forgiveness. Like, please, like, I love you. It was a mistake, blah, blah, blah. And I stupidly took him back. And we had a great week in Florida on Anna Maria Island, which I never want to go back to just because it's filled with memories of him. And I was stupid enough to take him back. And he said he cut off all ties with this one woman. And then, again, the summer kind of proceeded, but things started to not add up. Like all of a sudden, like his credit card was being declined or they were sending him a new one because it got compromised. And at this point, unbeknownst to me, he had been fired since April from stealing from his company. He stole.
And what was his profession again? What was his job?
He was at construction management.
Oh, and so they caught him stealing. How much did he had stolen?
Almost $100,000. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So how did you find that out?
So I was at school. So fast forward to September of 2018.
And you're still together.
We're still together.
And where are you living? Where are you living now?
We're still in the small house because the rentals kept falling through for us to move into.
So you're still in the fixer upper that you own.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I left a beautiful 5-bedroom home for this rundown tiny house with 4 kids and a dog. It was a nightmare. And so, but then like it just, I was like, we need to get out of this house. We need to start construction. It's going to take almost a year. And it was always like, well, when I get back from this trip or when I do this, it was always, but then all of a sudden I think he was panicked. And that's when he started pawning all of my stuff.
What type of stuff?
He pawned my engagement ring.
So that was like a ring that you weren't wearing, like from your first husband, you mean? And yeah. So you like didn't check your jewelry box. Who knows how long it had been gone or.
Well, because he was planning on designing a ring for me. And he's like, can I have your ring so I can take it to my jeweler to have it sized and figure out what else we could do with it. So I knew the ring was gone, but I can't. And then like a month goes by, I'm like, where's my ring? And he's like, oh yeah, I need to stop by there. I'll do it tomorrow. Like just pushing me off. And then, but then looking back when I had moved and we kind of had just like these guys, like randos kind of moving us because it costs so much money to move. And like Xbox was missing, Apple TV, all this shit. And he's like, they must have done it. Like he was pawning anything and everything. He even tried to pawn my ex-husband's wedding band, which wasn't worth anything. So fast forward to September 7th, because I'll never forget, I was at work and an unknown number came up and I just, ignored it. And then they left a message and they're like, we just took Matthew Person into custody at your house. Please call us back. And I was like, what? And I called and I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, we've been trying to meet with him for months and he keeps evading us. And the address he gave us is not accurate, or the address he gave his company. So we took him into custody for theft from his company. And I'm like, well, what do I have to do with it? And they're like, well, that's how we found him. It's like through your social media and stuff. And they started tracking me and then they were tracking him as well. So when they saw me leave for work, they went in and got him. And then they come to my work and I went off campus. Like, obviously I'm not going to, and they had a stack of stuff like this high of stuff he had stolen from the company and from me and from this woman, Diane. I mean, it was this thick. And at that point I was like, just sick, just disgusted. So I went home and I just tore through all of his stuff. And that's where I found pawn receipts, credit cards he had opened up in my name using my social security number, in excess of almost $70,000.
Are you responsible for that or no?
No, I wasn't, but it took a long time to clean my credit up. He was opening up these credit cards, but then not paying the balance.
Right.
So he had like hidden, like he's like a hoarder. He had hidden all of this stuff, like all the credit cards, the pawn receipt, all of it.
What kind of stuff was he buying with your card?
he was buying computer. He was essentially spending it on another woman, two other women. Like, I think his pattern was steal from one woman, spoil the next one until like I run out of money, steal from her, and then so on and so forth. Because that's been the pattern for like 20 years. If you look at all of his past victims. Yeah.
So, okay. I one when you were living together all summer in the tiny house, mm-hmm. Would you ever like bicker or fight? Like, what was the vibe between you during that time? Because I mean, for any couple that's even happy, I would think with four little kids, a dog, and like a crappy house, it can't be all lovey-dovey all the time. And you guys already have cracks in the foundation. So what was that vibe like during the summer?
It actually wasn't bad, only because like my kids are with me only 50% of the time. So he would kind of schedule his work trips, my work trips, meaning going and fucking other women. Sorry, mom, if you listen to this. So he would be gone when I had my kids, and then he would come back and we would maybe go on a trip, or we would go into the city because my parents have a place in Chicago. So like it was actually a really nice summer. We would go to the pool because I'm a teacher. So I was off all summer. It was great. So when I didn't have the kids, we were living our best life. But then he was gone when I didn't have the kids. When I did have the kids.
Okay. So it all comes crashing down. Diane was already on it because she'd already obviously talked to the cops as one of the victims.
She found out the same day that I found out.
Oh, really? Okay.
They went to her and then they went to me, and then we both found out.
And so when do you start like talking to other victims and really digging deep?
So I called Diane that day. And we both couldn't believe he would use the same stories, quotes, all that bullshit. Like, I guess to keep everything straight, he had to have the same like MO, right? And then the police officers had given me the names of two women that actually were able to get him in jail for theft, but his family found a way to get him out because they keep aiding and abetting this shitbox behavior. And so I get in contact with them. So at this point, there's four of us. And then the other chick that reached out to me that I had forgiven Matt for cheating with. So there was five of us. And all of our stories were exactly the same. Successful women, educated, access to, you know, not a lot of money, but like not poor and, you know, in dire straits, and did the same thing. But these people were able to make the charges stick. So I went to the Naperville Police Department to try to press charges, and they investigated and they said, no, we're not pressing charges. I'm like, are you kidding me? And like, well, he said you gave him the ring. I'm like, but I didn't give it to him to pawn it. Cause by the time I went to go get my ring, it had been sold. So my ring was $14,000 and he pawned it for $1,000. I wanted to kill him. I wanted to kill him. Yeah. So he is only in jail for a couple days, gets out, and then just disappears. I don't know where. And I'm left like, what the hell just happened to me kind of thing. And so then I found out my brother sent it to me after this happened. I only confided in a couple people because I felt so stupid. One being my brother. And he's like, Bridget, he's a very bad, bad man. I'm like, what? And he's like, it's not only you. And he sent me a link to this website called cheatersandbastards.com.
It's actually cheaters and what?
Cheatersandbastards.com.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And he's on there. And there was like 37 comments about theft, cheating, pawning, everything. Like, so it kind of opened up like, wow, there's people all over the country he's done this to. But at this point, we don't know where he is. His family, well, they said they didn't know where he is. And so he just kind of disappears. And then this is funny. You'll enjoy this. So like, I didn't have any closure, right? So I had one of the laptops that he had used my credit card to buy, but that he had logged into Southwest and he never logged out. So when I logged in to see all the miles he had from stealing from his company, like he would plan a trip and then cancel it. He had like 180,000 Southwest points. So he was kind enough, and by him, I mean me, to donate them to the Ronald McDonald House.
Oh.
Because I didn't want to do it to me. You know what I mean? But yeah. I wanted to be Yeah. And then 2 days later, his password was changed. I was like, I would love to have seen when he opened up his computer and realized he doesn't have any points. So that's how he was traveling. He was using all these tickets he had purchased. So I kind of let it go. And then in January of 2020, so I kind of just put it in the past. It happened. It sucked. Move on. In January of 2020, his ex-wife reaches out to me and says, like, I know we have never talked. I've tried to keep my distance for obvious reasons, but he has recently moved back to South Carolina, two blocks away from our house, where he has not seen his kids for 5-6 years, and has a woman with him. And he convinced this woman to quit her job and move to South Carolina with her children. Yeah.
So then what happens with them?
So then, like, we're trying to, his ex-wife and I are trying to warn this woman, like, he is not who you think he is. He is going to steal from you. He's going, like, all this stuff. And she just would not have it. She didn't believe any of it. So I knew that he had a warrant out for his arrest in South Carolina. So I called, initially I called the sheriff, like, when I found out where he was, and they said, we're not taking in nonviolent because of COVID. So then,
God,
I know. So then, like, 2 months later, I thought, I wonder. So I called again, and they reissued the warrant, and then they sent in a SWAT team to get him. Yes. So he was arrested in South Carolina in January of 2020. And I guess he stayed in jail for like 3 weeks. And then I guess that was time served or something. So they let him go. But then Texas had an outstanding warrant, so they extradited him to Texas.
And were those for crimes against stealing from other women and people like that too, or different?
No, it was, his new thing was cars. He was stealing cars.
Oh.
So he had stolen two cars in Texas. So he was extradited to Texas. They let him, as somebody paid his bail again. We don't know who. And then he skipped town from there. And then.
So what about the woman in South Carolina? So then she was left brokenhearted as well.
Screwed. Yes. She's screwed.
And did she ever come around to believing you or getting on?
100%. Yep. I talk to her almost every day. It's a bad little, like I mentioned the other day, it's a bad sorority that I'm in. But like, it's nice because we, like, all of us are smart and we're like, how can we do this? But we understand he was a master manipulator. Like, he's Dirty John times 10. I mean, cause he was actually smarter than that guy. Cause he's so freaking smart. And I always say, like, it's too bad he didn't use his powers, meaning his intelligence, his creativity, like all of that for good, because he could have had a very lovely life. You know what I mean? But he chose.
Now, has any of his crimes involved any violence?
No, no. And that's kind of why, like, my significant other doesn't want me to do this. Like, he's worried that he will retaliate. One, I'm not scared because he's still in jail. And two, I think he's too much of a pussy to do anything. Like, he's never, ever done anything violent to anybody.
So what is, where, what prison is he in now? And what is he serving for or waiting on?
Right now, he is in prison for, in Fulton County, Georgia. That theft is for attempting to steal a Jaguar. But then there's also a warrant out for his arrest in Texas for stealing a car. There's a warrant out for his arrest in Illinois for stealing from the woman that moved to South Carolina. And then and there's a warrant out in Nashville, Tennessee for car theft at an airport. And then the last one is a warrant for stealing from the latest victim in Ohio. It's crazy, like nuts. But he's in jail. And part of the reason I wanted and reached out to you is, like, God forbid he get out. I mean, all the states have to, like, have their, whatever crimes he committed in those states. But with the criminal system now, with COVID and all that shit, like, I don't know, he could get out and he could do this again. Because what happened is he reinvented himself with a different name when he moved to Ohio. Because obviously, if you Google him now, like, that Cheaters and Bastards comes up, all his mugshots come up, all that shit. Because I guess the more you Google something, the more likely it's to come up or something. Because so my goal here today is obviously to tell my story and also, like, to prevent him from ever doing this. I want his face on billboards all across the fucking country. If I could afford it, I would do it. Yeah. And then,
so wait, so with, so he does have one ex-wife that you know of, and that's who you talk to. And so he actually had children with that woman. Those, the girls that he talked about.
Yes. Yeah.
And what was her life being married to him? Was it like, horrible. Was he good for a while, or he was always cheating and all that?
I think he was good for a while. And I think kind of the same thing has been his pattern. Things start to kind of unravel. And then, you know, he starts like stealing, cheating. I mean, he stole from all the companies, and like, she wanted to try to keep their life together, but like, he made it impossible because he just kept cheating and stealing. And like, she's like, enough is enough. And so she divorced him and luckily married a lovely man who she deserves and who is amazing to her, amazing to her girls. So, but then now he also has an ex-wife or a current wife in Texas. And this one refuses to hear anything we have to say. She's still supporting him.
So he has one wife that he's currently married to that's like sending him money to buy, you know, food in jail.
Yeah. 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 And she knows everything.
And so she came after, obviously after you.
She was right after me. And then there was the one woman from Chicago that moved to South Carolina. And then when that went bust up, somehow he found his way to Columbus, Ohio. I don't know how he gets jobs. Found his way to Columbus, Ohio. And within 3 months had stolen all this woman's jewelry. Just, you know, like, and the thing that sucks is like family heirlooms that you can't ever replace, you know? Mm. So he's currently there, but like, it's just, and that's like, the lies we could talk for 10 hours. Like, it's insane. The lies like that he told, but the situations that he put me in, like I told you about the insurance part, like when I went on Cobra, when I was in between, I was starting a new job and I didn't have insurance the first 60 days. He's like, well, I'll just go on my insurance, babe. Like, I got you. And I'm like, we're not married. And he's like, oh, well, they'll make an exception. And I was like, okay. So then he gives me a bogus like ID card. And I mean, it looked so freaking real. I went and had surgery because I thought I had insurance. But again, he didn't have to give me insurance. You know what I mean?
So you sign up for this surgery. You show them the card. The person accepts it. You get the surgery. Then they call back and say, actually, you don't have insurance and you owe us $14,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah. But that was after, it was like 3 weeks after I'd found out about him. I mean, it's just like, and I had to pay all of it. I had to pay all of it. A single mom with four kids, I had to pay off a $14,000 medical expense when I could have just been on Cobra. You know what I mean? Like, it was completely unnecessary. So he just kept, like, months and months after he disappeared, I kept just getting hammered with like something else, like a credit report or like a non-paid, like, he took out a storage facility in like North Carolina and used my credit card. And then I just weird, crazy shit like that.
I was so like, right. So then just some huge bill that like you didn't even know was happening. Just you get hit with.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then more and more women just came out, just coming up to the surface and just saying that this happened to me too. He's tried to get me to sell my house. He pawned all my jewelry. He was, you know, screwing other women. Like, it's just like, but I'm like, enough is enough. Like, I will go to my dying day to make sure you do not do that to, another woman. And I even told a Naperville police officer who didn't press charges. And I said, when he does this to somebody else, and he will, this is on you. So when the latest victim came forward, I left him a voicemail and I'm like, check your email. And like, I'm sending you a link to his last two arrests. From stealing from women, because
you sent that to like the detective.
Yeah. And I said, the part of this is on you. And I said, you had all the evidence. And I said, and he just smooth talked you and you guys did not press charges. And he did it again. And there's been three. So those are on you.
I mean, with these Dirty John type guys, it continues because the mostly male detectives, in my opinion, don't see it as a really bad crime because there wasn't violence. There wasn't, you know, anything, you know, pedophilia, nothing like that. It's just stealing from women that they dated. And right. So everyone's just like, who cares? And
or we're crazy and we're trying to get revenge, something like that.
Right. They're just, yeah, exactly. And it's just, or it's just a crime that doesn't interest these detectives to pursue or DAs to pursue. And so I am really happy to hear that, that there's actually now a division at Homeland Security that's going after these guys, because I definitely think, just like a serial killer, there's, it should be some FBI profile of these guys. And like I said, with this a psychological thing, well, like, why with the fake insurance? Why with the dream home? Why with trying to, it's like, it's another layer of crime. It's like a psychological warfare type of crime, along with, you know, physically stealing from you and from companies. It's crazy.
But who would lie about getting a vasectomy reversed and then let that person, like, every month be like, oh. I mean, it's sick beyond anything. And like, when I even tell this story, and I don't tell it to everybody, but like, because at first I had a lot of shame. Now I realize it wasn't me. It was him. He's a criminal. He targeted me. Like, so I just made sure that moving forward, like, if I felt something in my gut that something wasn't right or whatever, I'm out. And like I told you, like, for a long time, I asked myself, God, why would you have done this to me? Or why was I put through this? But my real estate attorney that represented me, that came from my broker recommendation, I didn't know him from Adam, 2 years later, set me up with who I'm now with, who is like the most amazing, funny, kind human being in the world. And like, and he's like, well, we would have met. And I'm like, your Tinder profile, you looked like a serial killer. I never, he's like this. And the picture, it's just one picture and no byline, no bio. So I was like, honey, I never, ever would have swiped right on you. So something positive did come out of this, that relationship, as well as the relationship that I formed with these, you know, five other women that we share stories, and we all are kind of in cahoots to make sure that he stays where he is and that he has to pay for his crimes. And I don't care what it's going to take, but I won't stop until he is put away for the rest of his life. But that's the thing. Will they put him away for the rest of his life if he didn't murder somebody? But
I mean, that's the problem with, you know, where we are right now in the criminal justice system, certainly in California, with, you know, theft just doesn't hold anything. But that leads to other things. And I'm like, you know what's going to happen with these crazy, you know, smash and grabs that's happening in Los Angeles? You know, they think nobody in California have guns, but people do. And there's going to be somebody in the store that's a citizen that is strapped with a gun. And it's they're gonna have their, you know, Clint Eastwood moment. And then some young kids that got, you know, sucked into this smashing and grabbing and doing this thing, like a gang, they'll be killed, and then get ready for another freaking nightmare, you know? So it's like, that's what I'm afraid of, is that something really bad is going to happen. Because everyone thinks, oh, because they're doing this and it's not, no one's dying, and they're not necessarily, some are using guns, but a lot of them aren't.
It lowers the charge,
huh?
Yeah, like I was listening to Jeff Lewis Live, and they you guys were talking about that. And it's like, yeah, you're not hurting anyone, but you are, like, you know, like, let's say at Louis Vuitton, the smash and grab, those people were expecting commissions on Black Friday and for Christmas. So not you are hurting people, maybe not physically, but I mean, can you imagine being an employee held up by gunpoint? And then I guess I heard that these wackadoodles went into like a private home in the Pacific Palisades to a Christmas party and took everybody's jewelry. Yeah, it was.
I didn't hear that one. Did that just happen?
Yeah, it was like Jeff talked about it on Tuesday, I think. Yeah, so you'll have to ask him about it. But it's like, yeah, but are they hurting anyone? No, but they are. And it's going to, like, as you said, it's going to escalate. Like, you know, it's like a drug user, you know, it's like your gatehold theft. And then what's next?
It's a gateway crime. Yeah. And same with this guy, you know? So, I mean, hopefully someone's going to take a real interest in prosecuting him. And, you know, the other thing of the reason you're put through this is because you got to meet me and be on Juicy.
That's the best
part of everything. Forget about the love of your life. Come on.
I know. I'm like, oh my God, I'm calling Heather McDonald. Oh my, it was just so weird. And like, and I told a couple of people at work, they're like, chick from Chelsea Lately. I'm like, yeah, they're like, bullshit. I'm like, I swear to God.
I love it.
Now when you come to Chicago next year, I'll be I'll be front row and center for sure.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And I definitely will be always coming back to Chicago.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Tell everybody his name again.
So Matthew Person.
And then we'll share like on my social media and maybe at the end of this video, the Bastards and Cheaters website.
Okay,
everyone should familiarize themselves from. Study this guy along with anybody else on that.
Which is hilarious, by the way. The shit that's posted on there is like legendary.
Yeah, like, I mean, and just...
Yeah.
And it's just, it sucks because when women do feel like, oh, I feel so stupid and, you know, and my husband was like, what about Dirty Janes, you know? And I'm like, there probably are Dirty Janes. But the thing is that when a man... is pursued or, you know, if it gets with a woman, I think they financially know that they're going to be flipping the bill. And then if the woman does do some more sophisticated way of stealing from them, like this Dirty John type guy does, they're like, oh, well, like that's on me. And I don't think they report it. And again,
right,
they probably get less attention from the police than even the women do, because the, you know, probably mostly male policemen will be like, well, boo-hoo, loser. Like, what did you think? Well, look at you. Why do you think this girl was hanging out with you? Like, you know, so those guys that go, okay, you know, hey, dude, you know, you should have just gone to like a, you know, a sugar daddy website or whatever. So I think with women, you know, they pick women that have had successful relationships and are looking for someone good. And it's a normal match. You know, it's like, he's age appropriate. You guys look like a couple together. So you're like, well, why would I think that this was anything but who this person is presenting themselves to be? And how is anyone expected to fall in love if all of a sudden on the first date, they're like, you know, let me see
the background.
Check, yeah. Let me do a background check. Let me see everything. Let me talk to everybody. Let me, you know, and then also how does that takes away the fun of being pursued and being in love. It's just a very hard place to be, as great as online dating is and ways to find people that to meet. And it's, I think so many people have met their soulmate from it. There's also this awful aspect, just like iPhones are the greatest thing in the world, but they're also such a great way for people to cheat, you know, and have other ways to communicate with people without their wife knowing, like they might have not gotten away with it, you know, 20 years.
Like with Snap, like I know people that have cheated on their spouses and they use Snapchat and not text messages because it disappears. Like 100% agree. And like going back to like feeling stupid, like, you know, the show, Amy Phillips has on,
reality.
But when the whole Dirty John thing was going on, like the hype, like her and Alyssa were just like ripping any woman that falls for this. And I was like, I'm not a person that calls into radio shows, but I'm fucking calling it. And I just like, I kind of was like, listen, you need to have it show a little bit more grace. Like these, we are victims. Like I have a master's degree in elementary education. I'm not a stupid woman. So you can't just say anybody that falls for someone like this is an idiot, because I'm not.
And also by saying that, now we're shaming people like yourself that, you know, could really be a voice and help other people, A, get over it, look for love again, see the bright side of it, but also warn other women. And that's being a good citizen, you know, by sharing your story, you're helping out, you know? I think it's great that you shared your story.
Well, thank you.
And Bridget, I'm glad you took the time out. I will see you in Chicago. We're going to share his information. Beware. And if somebody else has a story, you know, feel free to contact me the way Bridget did, because I want to expose these people. And
you're not, and for those women, you're not alone. You're not stupid. It's not something you did. it's, you were in the, like, the wrong place, the wrong time, or the wrong, I guess, the wrong website at the wrong time, or whatever it may be. Cause all of his victims he's found on dating websites. So
yeah. And I'm sure he was on all of them too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, one of his Tinder profiles, hilarious, was a picture of the two of us, and I had been scrubbed out. I was like, hey, I mean, when I saw it after the fact,
I was like, that can't be good for a Tinder profile either. Like, people shouldn't be scrubbing out, like, the ex-girlfriend. Scrubbing out
the person, and you could see part of my hand, like, on his chest. I'm like, you're an idiot.
Oh my God. Well, I'll let you get back to teaching. Thank you so much, Bridget. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Keep me posted.
Thanks so much, you guys. Again, go to heathermcdonald.net to join Patreon. There'll be a new episode on Friday, as always, plus bonus episodes. And you get access to every single episode I've done in the last, I think we're up to 3.5 years now. So many episodes there just waiting for you to listen to. Also, go to heathermcdonald.net for tickets to my show at the Tempe Improv, February 4th and 5th. Thank you.